This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. I'm really excited to have Jessica Lagnato with me today, and we're going to talk about the very light subject of fear and panic.
It's one of my favorite topics. I'm so happy to be talking to you about it. As a triple Capricorn, I don't like to brag, but I'm scared of everything and love to panic.
Right. So of course, you know, if you folks are listening, if you've watched the news at all, you may have noticed some correlations with the Saturn and Pluto conjunction in Capricorn that was exact in January. We've had some lead up to it. We had some previews of it last year, and we're in the thick of it this year because even though those planets have separated a bit, and Saturn's going to go into Aquarius for a little bit, which we'll talk about today as well. Jupiter and Mars are joining in the mix, and Saturn's going to go back into Capricorn. So we're not really done with that energy this year. You might have noticed a little bit of fear and panic out there, which is really part of one of the potentials of this signature. So we're going to talk about that today. And hopefully by the end of the podcast today, we'll also give you some useful tools that you can work with yourself to manage and be present with your own fears. So stay tuned for that part as well. But I thought, Jessica, we could just talk about, you know, you and I have both had people coming to us saying things like, did you see this coming? And I was wondering what you think about that, how you've responded to it, and if you have any thoughts about, you know, you and I had talked about, is there what's the value in that question even to astrologers?
I think it's a very natural question to ask of an astrologer because we are, you know, uniquely positioned to look at the past, the present, and the future kind of all at once. And I don't see the value outside of a scholarly inquiry, right, in predicting these things or unless we're talking about preventative measures. So I am hesitant in general and in public, I think, you know, to talk about what will happen. But instead, I like to focus on what we can do now, given the evidence we have. And, you know, it could be in the context of the evidence of how these transits are playing out. But I hate to abandon common sense. And I hate to abandon, you know, looking at the news and listening to people who are experiencing the world. And I think using astrology to support and contextualize those things is really useful. But using astrology to explain it away or distance yourself from the feelings that are triggered by real life is not especially helpful or useful. And it is what I try to avoid. So I don't know if I even fully answered your question, but that's
You did. And it ties in with what I really love this statement from Richard Tarnas, that astrology is archetypally predictive and not concretely predictive. And when we start to, you know, we could talk about using astrology for prediction all day. You know, in private, we astrologers, we do sort of go down that road. We think about what could happen under a specific transit, but these are all just part of an archetypal soup that we kind of mix together, right? And and there, like you said, there is value in it in terms of being prepared for some of the worst things that we think are potentials. But just because we think those things are in the realm of that archetypal pattern, for instance, the Saturn Pluto in Capricorn has a real specific kind of vibe to it. It's not Jupiter plus Uranus in Sagittarius, for instance. It's a little different.
Right. A little bit.
But so we can describe these things and what they're about. But when we say like, oh, I see a pandemic coming in January, right? We could look at previous cycles and see that pandemics did occur when there were certain alignments. But there are many, many variables at play, and no chart is ever the same, and life is consistently unfolding anew in every moment, just like in every moment there's a new chart.
And also I would add to that, like, astrologers do not have the kind of influence and power over medical conversations or scientific investigations or governmental agencies. So the value, even if, because, you know, for me, I don't really resonate with the concept of archetypes, and I don't work exactly with archetypes exactly. Richard Harness is a genius. I'm not disagreeing with that at all. Yeah. I just myself am such a Capricorn. But I will say that if I believed that making these kinds of predictions could have some sort of value, some cause and effect over the way society is managed, I would take a different approach. But because we're speaking to people who are interested in the world and living their lives, I think it's a different kind of conversation. We're having a psychological and emotional impact that can directly impact behavior of individuals, maybe even small groups, but not large groups, right?
Right.
And I think that that's a valuable part of this conversation. I also would just kind of like add in that because we astrologers are as impacted and kind of vulnerable to world events as everyone else, we cannot be objective in the same way. So when we're talking about a pandemic or, you know, an authoritarian regime or, you know, things like that, like an election, nobody's objective. We all have inherited issues from our parents and grandparents, from the environment we were raised in, from the class background we have. And we also have our own fears as adults and our, you know, the ways that we tend to be cavalier and all the things. And to pretend anything otherwise would be irresponsible, I think. It's also part of why I don't think it's terribly useful or wise to be running around town predicting world events that we actually cannot influence. I think it just creates panic, and I don't think that's useful.
Such a great point. I mean, there were a couple of astrologers who predicted a terrorist attack within the window, within actually a very small window when 9/11 happened. But just like you said, that obviously didn't prevent it from happening. Right. And even if, you know, they were the most masterful astrologers with the best techniques, but one of them, I know her work, and she, although she predicted it in that window, she predicted it in several other windows that year. And she continues to do that every year. Right. And this is where I want to go next is astrology is really in some ways, well, at least you and I agree on this, that it's more valuable to look at the astrology of the moment and to look at the events that have unfolded and to use astrology as a way to think about, ruminate on, and respond. Yeah. So to that end, what kinds of things are you sharing with people in terms of responding to this energy that's arising right now? And let's just kind of talk a little bit about what WHO has just called a global pandemic.
Right. Right. So WHO, which is the World Health Organization, in case you don't know, has called the coronavirus or COVID-19, a global pandemic. Also, in the United States, we have, you know, the Democratic primaries, we have the risk of Russia interfering in American elections. We have a lot of things happening in our government, in our messy bench of a government. And within all of this, my first and most important take is stay associated and remember that you are a community member, that we are interconnected. You know, that is where I start, because it's easy to become overwhelmed and like hypochondriacal or obsessed with, you know, politics or with pandemics or whatever it is. But if we kind of understand that it's not just about me and you, it's about all of us. And there are ways that you can stay informed and stay activated. So in the context of democracy, quote unquote, or in the context of politics, I think it's about, you know, voting, showing up, talking to people, listening to people. I think that's one really valuable approach. And then when it comes to COVID-19, I think it is first and foremost, you know, I say as an astrologer, listen to scientists, trust medical professionals, you know, have critical thinking and discernment when you reach out for news and education, you know, and use common sense. Like, I think that's a really important first step that some people are surprised to hear from astrologers, but I think of us as a very reasonable demographic. And I think, you know, science and astrology are not in any way antithetical to each other. And often we reinforce each other. And so I would like to, you know, uphold and reinforce the wisdom and expertise of organizations like the World Health Organization. Like, that's my starting point, is pragmatism. Surprising no one, because I'm a Capricorn.
Well, and on that note, I also wanted to cover fear from the angle that, you know, it could sound a little bit like, when we're talking about fear, as if it's unwarranted. But one of the reasons why people are very frightened is because a lot of people have died already, and a lot of people will die from this. And there's a palpable fear of death that really just correlates quite well with Saturn and Pluto being in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. The fear of death, like the literal fear of death. And the fear of death is one of the most compelling fears that we humans have.
Yes.
Apparently the fear of humiliation is, I think I've read that it's either stronger or just as strong as the fear of death. I find that really interesting, but that's not what we're talking about today. But this is a very real thing, this fear. And so I don't want to downplay or diminish anyone's fears, but on the same note, a lot of us will survive this pandemic. Most of us will survive this pandemic, thankfully. And, you know, some of us will lose loved ones, and some of us will maybe get close to the edge ourselves. So knowing that, what's the message here with Saturn and Pluto? What are some ways? I always think about the planets describe the problem, but also the solution is contained in there as well, or at least if not a solution, because, you know, not all of us want to be solutions oriented, but a way of being present with those energies and responding with awareness and intelligence and intention. What are some of the things that you're recommending on that level?
Well, can I add to the fear for
a hot
second? Not to brag, but, you know, I have a much longer scroll. When you say that people aren't solutions oriented, my jaw dropped when you said that. But again, I'm a triple Capricorn, and that's my viewfinder.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of what I'm scared of, I mean, I am scared of human suffering on such a massive scale. I'm also scared, because I'm very scared of suffering. I'm not scared of death myself as a medium, but what I am terrified of is the collapse of infrastructure and people not having access to groceries or medication, people having to rely on the government. As a queer person, as a person, like, I'm always thinking about vulnerable populations. And in particular, in the context of this, what we're seeing in the US is, you know, police and riot gear are showing up to enforce quarantines.
Right.
That's how it's being enforced. So if you want to be scared about something practical, I have some suggestions on the list. If you are a person of color, if you are a woman, if you are a queer person, if you are a person of, I could name a lot of different demographics that are especially vulnerable to police and don't necessarily feel safer with police. I mean, these quarantines are enforced militaristically. And unfortunately, within authoritarian regimes, which we are seeing a rise and spike in globally, right, internationally, this is something that they seize on, is chaos and fear. And they start making laws and kind of our liberties, our civil liberties get eroded. And so I think that that's a really, and I don't know if you can hear emergency vehicles right
speaking
now in the
of, speaking, speaking of the emergency.
I know, I was just like, oh, the irony. I mean, usually I would stop talking when you can hear something like that, but I'm like, oh, but it's actually perfect. It's like punctuation.
Right.
It's like,
it
thank
is,
you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for participating in this podcast. But yeah, I mean, I think that those are very practical things to be concerned with. And for me, they're incredibly motivating to self-quarantine when I have sniffles. It's incredibly motivating for me to, you know, in terms of responding to fear. And hold on for just one moment. It's
sure.
All of a sudden really loud here. Hold on.
Well, I just wanted to, because you've thrown out a lot of things that are directly relevant to the correlation with Saturn and Pluto. And I just want to call those out to some people who are maybe new to astrology and don't have a full range of understanding of what each planet can represent. And when Jessica was talking about self-quarantine, for instance, I mean, that involves taking personal responsibility, which is kind of classic Saturn in Capricorn.
Yes.
So taking responsibility for yourself, walling yourself off, right? To protect yes. other people, doing the grown-up thing. That's a Saturn response, right?
That is. It is. And Pluto in Capricorn as well. It's understanding the interconnection. Connectedness of us all. So for me, since January, I have been collecting emergency supplies for a 3-week or more quarantine. And I'm not just thinking about it as an individual. You know, I live with one other human adult and a couple other cat friends, but I'm also thinking about collecting some resources that I can share with my neighbors who are homeless, or, you know, if other neighbors of mine need help. You know, I'm not just thinking about myself, I'm thinking, what can I afford, you know, and another. So, and I don't just mean financially afford. I mean, like, what can I afford to do? What can I psychologically, what can I behaviorally plan around? I think, you know, donating money, if you have money, to local food banks is really important, because as people become quarantined or can't go to work because things get shut down, like the whole restaurant industry and, you know, right. Tourism industries are being decimated right now. I mean, I had 5 live events scheduled for my book release, which just came out, you know, at the start of 2020, and I canceled them all. Of course I right. did, because right. it's not responsible. It's not ethical to bring people together en masse at this time. But, you know, my whole income wasn't reliant on it. And for many people, their incomes are reliant on it. So how are they going to eat? You know, and I think being kind of globally minded, being a good community member, whether we're talking Saturn and Capricorn or Saturn and Aquarius, I think both of those transits want us to consider ourselves as members of a society. We take responsibility for our participation. I think it's really important to be able to recognize that some of us can help in, you know, material ways. Some of us can help by writing. Some of us can help by shutting the fuck up and listening. You know, like, there's lots of different ways that you can participate. And I think it's about prioritizing what action will help with your anxiety, because action is the antidote to anxiety. And sometimes the action is really, you know, it's like a self-soothing thing. And sometimes the action is material. You know, for me, when I'm really stressed, I'll paint my house like a crazy person maybe. But that is something that really calms my brain, is doing something kind of mindless and material that I have to finish. So it has a start and a middle and an end. And for my brain, that really works. Now, not everybody is a Capricorn or like wired in the way that I am and has paint lying around the house. But, you know, there are different ways of doing it. And the point I'm kind of trying to make by sharing this stupid random thing I do is you can find your own stupid random thing. It doesn't right. have to be the thing everyone else is doing. There's not a right or a wrong. It's about what soothes you so that you can still be a member of society, so you can engage with your fear responsibly, you know? So that's my, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely. So Saturn is moving into Aquarius in just very soon, I think probably when we're going to release this podcast, if not shortly after, on March 21st, at least depending on your time zone. And that's going to shift the energy a bit. And what are some of the ways that you're hopeful that the energy shifts? And what are some of the things that you're afraid of with that shift in energy?
Yeah. You know, the concept of... what is it? Is it self-containment? Is that the term that's being used?
Yeah. And containment is, it's so interesting for thinking about Saturn and Pluto and Capricorn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like self-isolation, or there's like, I think I'm blanking on the specific word, but that is to me exactly what I would expect to see in the couple of weeks leading up to Saturn and Aquarius. And I think the transit of Saturn through Aquarius, when we know it's going to retrograde back into Capricorn and then do its thing, is different than it doing its thing, right? So I think that there's that to consider, is that I think that there's this is kind of like pregame show stuff a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, something that you and I were talking about is how the last time Saturn moved through Aquarius, was in the early 1990s. And in 91 is when the first World Wide Web business went public, right? It was the birth of, I think Google was born at that time too, was it not?
I don't know about that one, but definitely in August 6, 1991. I don't have that in the top of my head, folks. I'm reading from my notes.
Okay. So, you know, thank you. Thank you.
I am a nerd, but I'm not that kind of nerd.
I mean.
but on August 6, 1991, the first www web browser, I mean, there's a lot of moments in history with the internet, but www, which you might have noticed at the top of your URL, was launched during Saturn in Aquarius. And Saturn in Aquarius also correlates with other moments in the past where we become more and more connected with each other around the world.
Yeah, and in some ways, more and more isolated, because Aquarius is a sign that is related to individualism. And so as we have more connection to the world, do we become more self-interested? Do we interact with people who are in front of us less? You know, this is, I think, an ongoing question that people have around the internet. And I think we're going to see that question. And as, again, we are being asked to self-contain, to quarantine, or to consider and prepare for quarantine, having that happen during Saturn in Aquarius, I think will bring up a lot of things. I'm right now blanking on the thing that I was talking to you about before that I felt was such a great, important thing to share, but now I'm blanking on it. I apologize.
No worries.
My brain farted.
No worries.
Oh yeah, I remember. So what I was really thinking about with this Saturn in Aquarius transit in a time where we are many of us self-quarantining, is that we will be connected to other people. We will be connected to news. We will be connected to media. We will be able to connect with people like video chat and all this kind of technology that didn't exist before. And we will be able to use it. It will help us stay connected and part of a larger community, which I think is really interesting. But within that, you know, for me, there's questions around privacy. And, you know, I think that there's questions around our privacy, our net neutrality, the freedom of press. And I see these things as really relevant to Saturn and Aquarius. I don't know if you do as well, Tony, but I see them as related to, you know, again, civil liberties within the system that we have. Personal privacy, personal freedoms, you know, these are, to me, deeply related to the Saturn in Aquarius transit. I don't know about you. Do you see it that way as well?
Well, I mean, when I'm thinking about any new planetary ingress, and that's just when a planet changes signs, I'm thinking about the light and the shadow of what can transpire. And I do think that we have to think about, with Saturn being in any sign, the dark side of control, relative to what that sign might symbolize. So yeah, for sure. A lot of us think that Aquarius has something to do with the internet, at least in terms of connecting humanity, if nothing else. One of the things I'm kind of hopeful about is that maybe scientists' voices will get elevated a little bit. Kind of hoping that somebody here in the United States says, hey, powers that be, you know, scientists are actually pretty cool and they know what's up. Maybe you should start listening to them.
I mean, fingers crossed, although what's happening right now in the United States and with the CDC is really terrifying.
It's so terrifying. I was on the CDC website last night and they didn't even have the right up-to-date statistics.
Correct. Well, Rachel Maddow reported, I think, just in last night's episode, which is now going to be out of date. So, you know, sometime on the 10th, it was of March, that there was a whistleblower from within the CDC, because the CDC recommended, the scientists recommended, that older people, and they didn't specify the age as far as I'm aware, but older people should not be flying in commercial airlines right now. And the White House was like, we don't like the optics of that. We are deleting it. And so within the CDC, there was a whistleblower, one whistleblower, not 100, unfortunately, one whistleblower.
That's because there's only three people that still work there.
Sweet Jesus. So scary. So scary. But that's the reality, is that I don't think that the CDC is a reliable resource, which is not to say that I don't think that the scientists and doctors working at the CDC aren't a reliable resource, but I don't think that we have access to information. And again, you know, I think that Saturn in Aquarius does relate to being able to rely on data, but also, you know, one of the things that I see is related to the, you know, we have a couple eclipses happening in the Sagittarius Gemini polarity. And so I've been really concerned for 2020 and, you know, this quote, fake news propaganda problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's related to the rise of authoritarianism globally. And I think we haven't seen in the Western world a lot of the internet being kind of compromised yet, but I fear that it is coming, and it would take outcry from the people for it to change.
Definitely. And for folks who are newish to astrology, Jessica's making that connection between those eclipses being in Gemini and Sagittarius, because there's a connection there with information and in the news, and so that's why she was kind of going in that direction there. One of the things, I mean, another positive, I think, about something you just said a few minutes ago about being connected in this way, even though we might be isolated and quarantined at home, this is a new experience for us. In the past, if we were quarantined at home, we might have no idea what was going on outside of us. We might just be seeing, you know, the police or whoever's enforcing the quarantine telling us, stay in your house. And now we can be in our house and be completely connected to information, at least, and we can communicate with each other. So, and even though there is a massive amount of terrible information on the internet, the truth is out there, and we have access, luckily so far, knock on wood, and hopefully it'll stay that way, but who knows, still have access to news in other countries, so we can get other perspectives, we can get other viewpoints, we can see how it's being reported in Italy versus how it's being reported in the UK versus how it's being reported in Australia or wherever, you know. And that's really, really useful. It's really useful to get those different vantage points, and we can do that all from the privacy of our own homes.
Yeah. And also, you know, if you are stuck at home, somebody DM'd me today and said to me, you know, she was like, I'm a Virgo and I, you know, have a hard time with people to begin with, and I'm a total introvert, and you know, you wrote a horoscope, she was saying I wrote a horoscope saying like, be reliant on others, stay interconnected, and she was like, that's really hard for me on a normal day, but now that everything is contagious, it's really hard for me. And you know, my response to her was very much kind of relevant to this conversation, which is, you don't have to leave your home.
Right.
You can wear plastic mittens. You can put yourself in like a bubble if you want to, and still Skype with people. You can join message boards. You can listen to resources that inspire you. You can participate from within the, you can participate in the world from the comfort of your own home. Please wipe down your devices. Please, you know, keep on washing your hands. Take, you know, preventative healthcare measures. Do all those things. And also, you know, you don't have to leave the house. And Saturn in Aquarius, you probably won't. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, I think that there's a way that, and again, this is for me related to Saturn moving back into Capricorn, right? Because this is only a limited time situation, the Saturn in Aquarius.
Like 3.5 months, if I remember right.
I think it's
right.
Until July. Is it July? Yeah.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Okay. Yeah. My belief is that it's in Saturn will be in Aquarius until July of 2020, go back into Capricorn until December, late December of 2020. And then it shifts back into Aquarius for the next.
And then we're done. Yeah.
Yeah. My take on this is that this is going to be a long-term ongoing issue. And I don't know. I kind of like lost my thread, but I think, oh, that's what I was going to say, is that the responsibility that we have, you know, if you have a platform, if you're like speaking to people, if you're writing content that people are consuming, I think we have a responsibility to acknowledge what's happening and to provide what we believe to be reliable resources. We don't have to be experts, but I do think uplifting the voices of experts is a really valuable tool right now. I also think if you have financial resources, donating money to organizations on the ground that are supporting the vulnerable amongst us. Because I really worry about what will happen. You know, I live in the Bay Area. When this virus hits homeless populations, what will happen in prisons? What will happen in domestic abuse shelters? Like, who's going to work in those places, in general hospitals? And how will we keep those people safe? And again, there's this issue of containment, you know, of this virus, and how does it stay contained? It really frightens me. And I don't mean to like panic people by saying these things, but you know, we see the spread of this COVID-19 across the world, and we see how aggressive it is. And I think we need to be realistic. And if you have the financial resources to be generous, I think it's important to be generous, because we are a community, you know, we are a local community, a global community. And it's important to be mindful and responsible within that.
Yeah. And I really like that message, Jessica, because one of the things I've been hearing online when people talk about, oh, you're making too big of a deal about the virus, and, you know, most people aren't getting sick, or if you're healthy, you don't have to worry about it. Well, that's not who we're talking about here. Yeah. We're talking about the people who do have to worry about it. And they're very real. People really have died from this virus. Yes, it may be like the flu, but if you get the flu and you die, that's still horrible.
Well, I would even, this is what I say to those people, if I may I, because watch me go. So I've got a couple of things to say. If this was like the flu, then why would Italy shut down? Why would the whole country of Italy go on quarantine? Why would airlines give people refunds if this was like the flu? Right. Obviously, this is not like the flu. Obviously, if the economy is taking a hit, if capitalists are taking a hit, you know, if like the big players in capitalism, if governments are taking a hit, then it is much different than the flu. So that's one thing I would say. And the other thing is, forget the vulnerable. I don't actually mean that. Don't forget the vulnerable, please. but let's say, you know, those people who are saying that don't care about people with pre-existing conditions. They don't care about people with asthma. They don't care about any senior citizens anywhere. Let's say you care about none of those people. First of all, I'm sorry that you are broken. But second of all, let's talk about nurses. Let's talk about doctors. Because this is the thing that people aren't thinking through, is that if all of our nurses and doctors are exposed, then many of them will contract it. Then they have to be quarantined and they can't go to work. Okay, so then let's say you have a surgery that is for your cardiovascular disease. Let's say you need a hip replacement. Let's say you need a medication that is made in a region, maybe in China, maybe not, where people aren't working because they're on goddamn quarantine. So there's this way that we are all connected, and we will see that trickle down very quickly. I think we already are, which is part of why people are rushing to buy supplies, because the fear is those supplies will not be readily available anymore, right? And that's because of the trickle-down effect of the impact of this. And if there are no healthcare providers, what are we gonna do? If there's nobody who's able to drive the trucks that bring you your groceries, what are we gonna do? You know, like these people are thinking way too small. We need to think in this larger context. And to me, this is related to the Pluto return that is forthcoming. It is related to, you know, the Saturn stuff you and I are talking about. It's related to the Saturn-Pluto conjunction that happened in January of 2020. So there's a lot of considerations. But when you are only considering yourself and your friends or what's happening in your town or city, you're not thinking big enough, unfortunately. And you're going to miss some really important data that will help you to be a better neighbor and citizen, but also healthier and more prepared in your individual life.
And by Pluto return, folks, Jessica's referring to a transit in the chart of the United States. So going back to something you said about info, though, and it's important that you seek out these, what do we want to say, more objective sources of info so that you can be attuned to what's going on. Because unfortunately, in the United States, your government does not have your back on that right now. So you've got to do your own due diligence. You have to take personal responsibility for getting the right news yourself, unfortunately, right now. And that's another message of Saturn in Capricorn. It's you're going to have to grow up on that level and take responsibility yourself, which takes me into a very interesting topic that I'm thinking of with Saturn in and Pluto being in Capricorn, and that's daddy issues.
Daddy issues. Me and Tony back together on daddy issues. Yes. Listeners of my previous webinars will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. Yes. But, you know, sometimes we'll say that Saturn is the father in the chart. Sometimes we say it's the sun, and astrologers have all kinds of things that they say about that. But no matter which planet you associate with the father, Saturn can still bring up father issues, and we're definitely seeing that in the world right now. I think we can definitely read into that with the way the Democratic primary is going, and how we now have, you know, we had a very the most diverse range of candidates ever, and now we're dwindled down to the two oldest, whitest guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would say Bernie Sanders as a Jewish dude is the whitest of the white men that were on. I mean, wasn't Tom
I stand
Meyer.
Corrected.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's, I mean, I think, I you know, and even, well, what that's a whole other topic. It's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. And, you know, when I think of Saturn, archetypally, this is one of the places, you know, where I'm going to contradict myself because I do think it archetypally. Yeah, it's Darth Vader. It's like deep daddy issues. It's like everyone wear the same color. Everyone think the same thoughts.
Giving away my personal responsibility. Like, yep. I don't like, you know, we've heard people out there saying, well, I really like Bernie's policies, but I'm afraid, again, fear. I'm afraid that X, Y, and Z won't happen if he's the president. So I'm going to put my trust in this other guy, right? So right. In Joe Biden. So
tried and true.
Yeah.
Going with the past. So Saturnian. It's like the devil, you know, is the better devil, is kind of, I think a lot of what this particular like Democratic party conversation is like, do we really want to change the system? That's too risky. Let's go with what we know. Right. And I think with Saturn transits in general, in one's personal life and certainly politically, it's the wrong way of thinking of things. That's what I always advise my clients. I think we are meant during Saturn times to change the structure, not to just change, you know, our behavior, but to look at it quite structurally. And I think most of us can agree that the two-party system that we live within and that, you know, the way that the DNC runs needs some meaningful overhaul. And that's not like an endorsement of, you know, Sanders over Biden, although I'm absolutely personally invested in Sanders over Biden. But that's just an astrological take, but I want to be transparent about. I haven't taken it.
Oh, please. Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I think it's totally fine to share your opinion.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that what looks like the choice on the American on the part of the American public, and it really was a turnaround, because it wasn't long ago at all that they were calling, you know, Biden, this is Saturn and Pluto and Capricorn as well, they were calling his campaign dead in the water, and he keeps saying I'm not dead, I'm alive, right? So that's part of the whole archetype there, but those Democrats who have been voting in the primaries are making fear-based decisions. At least a lot of them are, right?
Yep. And young people aren't voting.
And that's the I like to, when I'm counseling a client during a Saturn time and we're talking about a fear that they have coming up, which is pretty common under a Saturn transit or a Pluto transit, I say it's better to make a fear-informed decision than a fear-based decision.
Yes.
So listen to your fear. This isn't about shutting out your fears or denying your fears or repressing your fears. Listen to your fears. Your fears might be telling you something really important. Like if you smell smoke in the house, be afraid.
Run. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. It's, you know, your fears are not your enemy. It's when you buckle in the face of fear that it becomes a problem.
And caving on your values, for instance.
Yes, which is a huge lesson of this era with Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. As whenever we have these kind of like, when those two planets come together by transit, what we have is fear-based choices to kind of compromise our humanity as a way to stay safe, which is an oxymoron. It doesn't work. But we do it over and over again on a personal level. We do it over and over again on societal levels to disastrous results, most frequently. Am I right, Tony Howard?
I think that does happen some of the time. I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
Yep, yep. You know, it is what it is. Oops, oops.
Uh-oh.
Literally, I'm doing nothing but having punctuation on this podcast recording. Something fell from not the sky, but I'm going to say from the sky and knocked my computer just now. That's awesome. Just what happened. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you. So, you know, all this is to say that collectively we're all working out some daddy issues right now, and we're going to see the pros and cons of that. We're going to see people doing well with those issues and other people not doing as well or making what I think of as kind of sad decisions based on feeling powerless or giving their power away, right?
Yep.
Like,
yes.
Who am I giving my power away to in this moment? That's a great question to ask yourself. But before we go, Jessica, because we could talk forever and we should probably wrap things up here. I just wanted to give people a few useful tips on how to work with fear. So what are some of the things that you tell your clients? A client shows up really, really afraid. Maybe it's in this moment. Maybe it's not related to this moment. But in terms of working with fear in general, and maybe especially Saturnian or Plutonian kinds of fears.
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been
great. You are very welcome. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm not scared at all. I mean, I'm scared of everything always, but not this. So I start off by saying that fear is an emotion. And when we recoil from fear, when we abandon ourselves in our fear, the fear gets worse and kind of has a life of its own. And then our impulses and our assessments are less reliable. And so the first step is to stay present with the fear, to breathe into the fear, find it in your body, locate it in your body, and be with it. And if you can only tolerate doing that for 30 seconds, great. Start doing that for 30 seconds at a time. To really be present with fear allows you to start to understand, are you scared because you're scared because you're scared? Okay, cool. Because that doesn't actually need anything but a psychological or an emotional remediation. Are you scared of something practical? Well, if you're scared of something practical, then what are the maybe three long-term big picture actions you can take? And what are maybe 1 to 3 immediate actions you can take today or this week? You know, to break it into bite-sized pieces so that you can manage it is really useful. And also being willing to be present with those emotions allows you to understand what is the merit of staying with those emotions. Because sometimes the best remediation to fear is watch some comedy, you know, like just like allow somebody to make you laugh. Sometimes you just need to get out of your own head. And sometimes you need to, you know, wash your hands or go get groceries and, you know, supplies. Maybe sometimes you need to floss your damn teeth or something, you know, like really practical things. So it takes being willing to sit with your feelings to be able to understand what they're trying to get you to understand about your situation. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's great. That's great. It ties in really well with some of the things I say. I describe a pretty similar process. One of the things I think that that allows fear to get out of control in our psyche is we just let it kind of swim around in our head. We think about it, but we don't actually think about it enough in a way or in the right way, because one process that can really work is to actually name the thing that you think is the worst thing that could happen in the moment. Like, name the thing that you're really afraid of, write it down, name it. And then think about what you would do if that thing happened. Like, what would you actually do if that thing happened, if your worst fear came to light? And just having a plan in place can help set that part of your psyche at ease. And then doing this process Jessica is describing is in some ways scarier for some folks, because being present with your feelings isn't something that our parents taught us how to do usually. Mm-hmm. It's something you had to learn elsewhere. And yet it's a really important process, right? It's a really important healing process. So thanks for sharing that tool with folks, Jessica. It's really important in these times to be present with your feelings and then also kind of take practical action. This is Saturn in Capricorn. And then it's going to be Saturn in Aquarius. This isn't about dreaming about it or, you know, doing creative visualizations to manifest a perfect reality. Saturn says, okay, that's cool, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's right. And I love the idea of really allowing yourself to look at your worst case scenario. And I think, you know, you and I are giving really similar advice, and you listening might hear, you know, what each of us is saying and, you know, think, oh, well, that wouldn't work for me. That's cool. Like, edit it. Saturn wants you to edit. Take responsibility for what does or doesn't work for you and your nature. Edit it so that you can use it. What is more Saturnian than editing for utility, right? So I think there's this way of like speaking on this daddy issue theme that you brought up, Tony, of taking responsibility for. You don't have to be monogamous or kind of obedient to, you know, people who are giving you advice, people who are thought leaders. You can look at things critically and determine based on the wisdom of your own experience or your own self-knowledge. Determine for yourself. God damn it.
Saturn, such an important message right now.
Right? I mean, it really is. And I think it's going to become an increasingly more important approach. So, you know, whatever of what Tony and I were talking about today, you know, hopefully you're taking notes, Saturn, and returning to them and adding to them and editing them, Saturn, so that you can make use of them, Saturn.
Yes. And of course, you know, we're just talking about how to work with your fear. We're not giving you advice about what to do if you're in a country where you're quarantined and you're not feeling safe. That's a different topic. And then you're in a different, you know, in need of a different skill set in that moment. We're talking about those who have the luxury to sit and journal about their fears, right? We're not talking about those in very vulnerable situations who need to take really more extreme measures right now. And if you're feeling, if this is you and you're out there and you've got one of these conditions that makes you more vulnerable, please take it seriously. And please, at the risk of your friends telling you you're crazy for not going out of the house, just stay in the house. Worst case scenario, you stay in your house and you're healthy and well. And that's a positive outcome, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had friends who were like, oh my God, you're getting emergency supplies in January. And yeah, you know, they're searching for them now. Right. It's okay to come across as not, you know, I personally am of the mind is that I do those things to be prepared, but I also do those things as a way to self-soothe the voices in my head that are screaming at me that everything, the sky is falling, basically. Right. And so for me, action is always the antidote to anxiety. And so, you know, for you, it might be different, but you've got to find your thing. And I think, you know, we could talk about this forever and there's so much to talk about. If you haven't, is it okay if I mention my podcast?
Please, yes, please do.
Here? I mean, I'm not really doing it for self-promotion as much as episode 90 of my weekly astrology and advice show. It's called Ghost of a Podcast. I talked about this topic differently, very differently than you and I just did, Tony. But I gave some advice about how to approach this. I am strongly encouraging everyone, everywhere, to have quarantine supplies if you can, and to take preventative healthcare measures because it's a pandemic, guys. So I think that is good advice. And if that makes you scared, it's okay to be a little scared of this. It is scary, but what are you going to do next? Right. And that's where you have agency, where you can take action, where you can crowdsource data. Do it all as much as you have a tolerance for and you have the resources to do it with and then go from there.
Well said. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jessica. It's been great to have you on the show. Hope to have you back again soon.
Me too. Thanks for
having me. We will be seeing you soon. I don't want to name it or even give a date, but you'll be hearing from Jessica again soon through Astrology University. And you have an AMA coming up on your own website, which is lovelanyado.com. That's love, LANYADOO.com. And you can sign up there. And an AMA is an Ask Me Anything. And so if you have questions for Jessica, she's going to open up the lines for about 90 minutes. And you can literally ask her anything. And do you have the date on that?
Yeah,
Jessica?
It's March 28th. I believe it's at 3 p.m. Pacific time on March 28th. And so it'll be live. So you can ask me anything, not anything, obviously. Be realistic, be reasonable. Don't ask me about, you know, what hair products I use and stuff like that. That would be weird. But you can ask me anything astrological. And yeah, it's if you can't make it, but you want to get the benefit of like hearing all of my answers, you know, you can buy it afterwards. It'll be on my website. And I like how you admitted the fact that you'll be there, Tony.
I will be there.
You will be there.
Yes, I will be hosting you. And yeah. It's always a pleasure and super fun. And we have a lot of laughs, and we do some serious astrology too, or at least Jessica does.
No, I try to loop you in whenever I can get away with it. So yeah, we do. We have fun. We have fun. I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but we have fun.
Yes. Okay. Well, thanks everybody. A nice way to end a very serious conversation. It's been a pleasure having you again, Jessica, and I hope to see you really soon. And yay, everybody out there, take good care.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.